I'm reminded when I ask you to turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 1, I'm going to read 20 verses of Scripture. I'm reminded of Nehemiah's day when they rebuilt the wall in like 57 days. At the end of that, Nehemiah caused a pulpit to be brought out, and they stood from morning until well in the evening. They stood. They weren't Baptists. They stood. And he read from the Word. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the world would be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed or accomplished for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to the other, "Let us now go to this Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the Christ, this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen and was told them. And the people said, Amen. You may be seated. Thank you again for standing in honor of the reading of God's word. There was a single day in past history that I believe to be the single most important day to that point in history that had ever happened. It came upon a midnight clear, the song says, some 700 years. Mark that. Some 700 years. It came from Isaiah 700 years earlier that there would be a light that would illuminate the darkness of the world. A light which Isaiah spoke of and said of that light, it'll have no end. And then some seven centuries later, God's word is true. When the word of God says something, it will be. Amen. Isaiah said 700 years before Mary and Joseph made their way to Bethlehem that it would happen. And a contemporary of his named Micah that lived and prophesied at the same time that Isaiah did said also that it would happen in the city of Bethlehem. Bethlehem of Ephrathah, Micah said. And friends, that night, in Bethlehem's manger, that night, the light came down. And friends, when that light came down, everything changed. The world changed. The birth of Jesus Christ changed everything because here's what happened. In a magnificent plan that doesn't make sense to me, why would he take a baby and put a baby in a manger and bring him to conquer the world? Why not send a great army? Why not send a gallant warrior? But instead, God chooses to send a baby to a manger in Bethlehem to change the world, Doesn't make sense to me. When Jesus came into that manger, that's exactly what was about to happen. Humanity, because Christ came, you and I today, human beings, humanity has been given the opportunity to come to Christ, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to God, and have the illumination of His light shine on our lives and show us what sin looks like. Somebody said, well, you hadn't sinned since you got saved. Boy, listen, I don't know if I've sinned any more or less since I got saved, but I'll tell you this much. Once Christ came into my heart, I had sin illuminated in my life. And all of a sudden, I knew what was right and what was wrong. Mama smacked me across the face a lot of times and said, boy, you know what's right and what's wrong? But listen, I began to know in my spirit what was right and what was wrong when Christ came into my heart. It happened that God stood at the portals of heaven one day. Think about this. I read a poem somewhere the other day, and as I was reading that poem, just stuck in my mind. It happened one day that God stood on the portals of heaven. You got to put your imagination caps on for a minute. God stood on the portals of heaven, and He watched. Think about this. He watched as His only begotten Son took the starry path out of heaven to come down to Bethlehem's manger. I thought about my son the day he got his driver's license. And you say, well, how can you compare your son to Jesus? Trust me, I can't. But as I watched him back that old Chevrolet pickup down that driveway and go out in that truck for the first time, I want you to know my heart was racing. Can you imagine the heart of God? Knowing that He's sending His Son, that in a few moments after He crossed out of heaven's light, would enter into the womb of a woman and later be born in a manger. Can you imagine that our God knew everything that was going to happen to His Son? He knew that His Son would go to a cross. He knew that His Son would die a horrible, pitiful death. He knew that His body would be striped and riven. He knew. Yet at the same time, our God allowed His Son to come. Jesus changes everything. Jesus makes a difference. He came into this world to be the light of the world. We've been talking about light in the last few weeks we've come together. Even on Wednesday night, we talked about life. As we think about that light, the light that is Jesus, as we think about that light that came to earth that night in Bethlehem's manger as a baby, I want to think about that. I want to draw your attention, if I can this morning, to some words, to some sentences, to some phrases that those angels used to describe the light of heaven. And as we do that, I'm going to ask you to kind of take an inventory. I'm going to ask you that as I lay this inventory out before you and show you some of the things these angels said about Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to take an inventory. And as you take that inventory, see where you measure up. See if you're full inventory. See if everything that you need is in your life. As we think about that light that came down that night from heaven at that first Christmas. Names that and words that will give you courage and give you stamina. I've discovered in my Christian walk, I need a lot of courage and I need a lot of stamina. That means when the devil throws fiery darts at you, you stay in the fight. That means when things get a little rough, you stay in the fight. That means an enemy anyway, regardless, you stay in the fight. You are a soldier of the cross and you stay there. And I've discovered that to do that, I need a lot of courage and a lot of stamina. And that's exactly what God gives us in relationship with Jesus. That darkness of sin, the light came down from heaven and exposed, and eventually, I want to tell you something. Here's the beautiful thing about Christ. As surely as He came in Bethlehem's manger, was born the Son of God, God among man, as surely as all that happened, He came for one reason, and that was to defeat sin. And you say, well, if He came to defeat sin, why is sin so rampant today? Why everywhere I look, there's sin? I've read the last few days, and you probably have too, a shooting at Brown University up in Rhode Island. This morning down in Australia, a shooting at a Jewish synagogue or there on a beach where they were celebrating Hanukkah. You read about all these horrible, atrocious things. I think about Epstein and all the mess that goes around that and all the news we hear. It's a terrible world. And people say, well, if Jesus came to conquer that, why hasn't He? Because of the goodness of the heart of the Father who sent Him. Otherwise, He had ended a long time ago, but His heart is full of mercy and His heart is full of grace that any man or woman who had come to Him could be saved. And I believe with all my heart, the only reason Jesus hasn't come yet is because God's got somebody picked out to be that last person. that'll come to Christ. If you're that person, would you please come? I want to draw your attention to some of those words that this angel used. I believe with all my heart the darkness is illuminated by Bethlehem's manger. And eventually, trust me, eventually this Bible tells me that God will conquer sin. All the sin that's in this world will be taken out. We, you and I, have never experienced a world without sin. The only world I've ever lived in is this one. And it's been full of sin since I was born in 1955, early January 6th, 1955. January 6th, that's coming up, birthday. You know. I've only seen sin in this world. Sin has been everywhere in my lifetime. And the only reason I know about sin is that the illumination of God through Jesus Christ is showing me what sin is. But there is a day coming, a glorious day, when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the honor of God the Father. Amen. Sin and Satan someday will be completely over and done with and exposed as the greatest enemy of mankind. If I were to ask you this morning, do you have an enemy? People would say, well, I got this enemy and that enemy. I got a neighbor. Well, I got a sister. I got this, this is my enemy. Let me tell you something. I think about the world that we live in, and here's what I think. The greatest enemy of America is not some foreign enemy. The greatest enemy of Ukraine is not Russia. Well, preach, you've lost your mind. Hang on. The greatest enemy of Israel is not Syria and Iran. The greatest enemy of the entire world, every man, woman, and young person, child on this earth, the greatest enemy we have is sin and Satan. Because I want you to know something. Satan wants you dead. You say, well, no, wait a minute. Yeah, there's a death warrant issued from hell on you. Especially if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to make him so mad that he prints up double posters about me and says, I got to take that guy out because he's telling too many folks about Jesus. If I speak, let it be of Jesus. If I sing, God help you, let it be of Jesus. If I preach, let it be of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only remedy we have for the greatest enemy that we have, and that is sin and Satan. There's no need for you and I to fear the darkness of sin if you know Jesus. There's no need for you to be scared. There's no need for fear of the darkness if you know that you know Christ. Verse 9 of the text that I read to you, I'm almost ready to preach now, but I got this thing ready. Verse 9 tells us these sheep herders, shepherds, were afraid. I would have been too. You ever been scared? Now, some of you ain't going to admit it, but I've been scared a time or two. I was down in the woods hunting one night. Let me see, is Jake here? Game warden ain't here, is he? I was down in the woods hunting one night, and all of a sudden there was this bright light shining. It was Milton Crushy. He used to be the game warden. You ever been scared? So imagine these shepherds are out in the field, and all of a sudden there's this bright, illuminating light that shines up around them. And as that light shines around them, they become afraid. Verse 9 tells us that they were afraid, they were scared, as this light of a holy squadron of angels, if you will, illuminated the darkness of the fields they were in. There's some fields outside of the city of Bethlehem that we'll go by and we'll talk about when we go to Israel again, that we'll talk about, that is the places where they just give you an example of what those sheep herders might have looked like. As the light of that holy squadron illuminated the sky, the messenger angel spoke. And when he spoke, the Bible notes that he saw the fear on the faces of those shepherds. And here's what it did. That fear that he saw in those shepherds prompted him to proclaim that those lowly men, to those men who are out there, the lowest rung on society's ladder, gave them words of encouragement. And they're words we need to hear today. In the waning years of 2025, Waylon Moore and I were talking a few minutes ago. Yesterday it was 2,000, right? Yesterday we were gathered up in my field, my pastor, Bob and I, and our families gathered up waiting for the world to end because it was going to end in 2000, right? Something happened that didn't happen that way. We need to hear this in the waning days of 2025. Do not be afraid. Would you say that with me? Do not be afraid. It doesn't matter what comes. If you know that you know Jesus, do not be afraid. Then the angel said to them, the scripture says, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Verse 10 defines the light and shows us the scope of that light and tells us that it is good for every man and woman to know that they know Christ and that Jesus Christ came that none would be lost. And if we know that we know Jesus, fear might encompass around you, but fear does not have to tackle you because you know that you know Christ. Do not fear. Darkness stands defeated completely, completely illuminated. John Sertor, you'll like this. I took my Jeep yesterday. I was driving it. My truck's been in the hospital. Clint's got it in the hospital. And I had my Jeep driving it. And I went to town. I went to my favorite hardware store, Walker County Hardware, and I spent me some money there, and I came back. And when I got back, I got out in the yard and kept working, and I lost my Jeep key. I've searched everywhere for that key. I walked around last night in the dark with a great flashlight, one of those flashlights that really light things up, and I looked for my key. I was trying to illuminate the darkness to find what I needed. The angels came that day and illuminated the light, illuminated the darkness with light so those shepherds could see what they needed. And what they needed was Jesus. And my friends, the Church of Jesus Christ must never allow fear to encompass us. No matter the world we live in, no matter the hard things we read about and the things we hear and the things we say and the things we hear about people against the church and against the Lord, don't be afraid. Because you and I, like those shepherds, you and I don't have to be afraid because Christ is with us. Don't be afraid, for you and I can face the devil in darkness with no fear. Do y'all know who Forrest Frank is? Just show me your hand if you know who he is. I'm going to a concert in August. You say, well, that's a long ways. I'm going to a concert in August where Forrest Frank is going to be in the Dallas area. I may even spend the night and let somebody else preach that Sunday. You can't tell yet. Forrest Frank has a song, and the song is Noel's. Not like Noel like we sung a while ago. Not that kind of Noel. He has a song called Noel's. Noel's, apostrophe S. He sees the world as a one loss standing. Like right now, the Aggies are 11-1 so far this year. They had a little incident in Austin that cost them a game. The Texans are 8-5. That other team up in Dallas, they're 6-6-1. That's what I'm talking about, that kind of one-loss record. Friends, those of us who know that we know Jesus, we've come out of the darkness into the light. That came down to us have no L's in our life. You don't put anything in the loss column. Not when you know that you know Christ. Everything that happens in your life will win. Everything that happens in our life will all work together for the good. And I know horrendous things happen sometimes. And I know for me, sometimes I get down in things that happen, but I'm trying my very best. I said a moment ago, I'm still learning. I've been at this 50 years, but I'm learning to look to the end. Don't look right now. Right now will make you sick sometime. Right now will bring fear into your heart. Listen, keep your eyes fixed on the fact that the promise of the word is that light that came to Bethlehem's manger will someday come again. And when he comes, death and all the things associated will be gone. All things work together for good. His peace, the peace of that child in Bethlehem's manger, will prevail. Don't be afraid. So you might say, how can I be sure? Would you say that? How can I be sure? Oh, come on. How can I be sure? How can I be sure that I don't have to fear? How can I be sure that I have to worry about the darkness? How can I be sure that I don't have to worry about things around me in this world? How can I be sure that I won't be on the news? I probably will be someday. Been there before. So how can I be sure and certain that the darkness is defeated and there's no need to fear? How can I be certain? I want you to take note of what the messenger angel said to the shepherds that night when the light came down. Verse 11 in the text I read. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Follow me here. If you're sleeping now, you're going to wake up in the middle of this and go, what's he talking about? Follow me. The angel said to those shepherds, in the city of David is born to you a Savior. Those of us who know that we know Christ have a Savior. Our Savior is Jesus Christ. In the Hebrew, and I couldn't help myself, I got stuck on Savior again this week. I went back and I looked at it, read things I know I've read before. In Hebrew, the word Savior, you'd never guess what it means. Anybody want to take a guess? It means rescuer. That's what that word means. Savior means rescuer. So I have someone to come along, the Lord Jesus Christ, and rescue me from this mess that we're in. Someday, the rescuer, the Savior of my soul, will appear in the clouds and rescue me from this world. Amen. You know what I think about? I think about Peter. I love the story. I know I keep saying this. November next year, we're going to Israel again. The trip's in the books. I think about old Peter standing there on the edge of that boat when Jesus is walking on the water. You remember? And he thinks, you know, Lord, if that's you, then let me come to you. And I bet Peter was thinking, he won't let me. And Jesus looked at Peter and he said, come on, boy. It's not translated that way exactly in the Greek. He said, come on, boy, come to me. And look at there. Peter's doing something that no man other than Jesus had ever done before. He's walking on water. And he takes a few steps, and you know the story. He begins to look around, and the Bible says the winds were boisterous, and they were blowing, and the rain was hitting me in the face. And all of a sudden, he took his eyes off Jesus. He began to sink. And in his sinking state, you remember what he did? Jesus, Lord, save me. He was rescued from drowning by the hand of Jesus. That's what my Savior does. He is the rescuer of my soul. He is the rescuer. We have a perfect first responder in Jesus. There's not a better one than that. There's nothing that Jesus cannot and will not rescue you from. I don't care where you are. I don't care how deep you are in it. I don't care if you've gone under twice. The third time's coming. Jesus can rescue you. Oh, what a Savior. Those angels looked at those shepherds that day and said, in the city of David, a Savior. I want to show you something else. Notice the word Christ. It's what we all know what that is. Let me tell you a few things maybe you don't know. That word Christ is a Greek word. It's interesting here that these angels mixed together two different languages. They mixed together Hebrew and they mixed together Greek. And then they mixed together some other words that are used by Greek-speaking Hebrews. That's too much to follow. I want you to notice the word Christ. Say that with me, Christ. Christ. Say it again.
Christ.
That's the Greek word for the anointed one, the chosen one of God. So get that now. Reagan Cooksey, January 6, 1955, corner of 11th and Avenue O. Born in that hospital, I'm sure 3, 4, 5 days back then. Ladies, you go have now and go home that evening. But we probably stayed 3, 4, 5 days in the hospital. And then I was delivered to Oakhurst. I have a picture of that abode, the castle we lived in. It was a mess. Delivered. Out there in the middle of nowhere. And in my life, some 20 years from that day, 21, I'd encountered the Savior who rescued me and brought me out of the sin that I was in. This Greek word, the anointed one, the chosen one. Friends, the light that came down that day in Bethlehem's manger didn't just happen to come. It wasn't decided just one moment. God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. No, it was well thought out and well planned. And that light that came down, it didn't just happen. It was planned out. Jesus didn't blow in on the storm like the weather came in last night. I mowed my grass yesterday and what little I had and chopped up a few leaves and a short-sleeve shirt. I won't do it today. I'm going to look for my keys sometime this afternoon, but I'm going to get wrapped up when I go do it. The light that came down didn't just happen in. He was chosen. He was anointed Christ by God to be Christ the Messiah to save the world from darkness. It didn't just happen. Gene, I remember our grandpa used to say, I didn't come in on the last tater wagon that came into town. I'm not sure what that means. I never saw a tater wagon. Well, I did sometime later. Jesus didn't come in on the last tater wagon. He didn't come blowing in on a storm. He came because God had sent him and ordained him to be the Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one. Now, I want you to notice one other word. The angel said that he has come to be Christ. But notice the light that came down that night was also called Lord. Here's the funny word. The word is kurios in the Greek. The Hebrew would do no good for me to repeat it to you. I'd butcher it. Lord was used by Greek-speaking Hebrews, Greek-speaking Jewish people, to refer to God himself. Matthew 1:23, he quotes Isaiah 7:14 there and says this, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So when we say that we have the Lord in our life, we are saying that we have the Lord God in us and among us. That's what it means to call him Lord. So the light comes down in Bethlehem's manger. It was Jesus, the rescuer, the Savior, the anointed one, God himself. The light that came down that night was the bearer of peace. Look at verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I've heard that word peace all my life. You remember back in the 70s, 60s, 70s? Everybody, peace, but no peace. When Vietnam, the atrociousness of Vietnam was going on, everybody was running around saying, we want peace. And then it became kind of a gesture just to speak to someone. I remember using a lot of times those two fingers saying peace. Verse 14 says, God in the highest delivered to this earth peace and goodwill toward men. Peace, I've discovered in my life, doesn't come from an arms race to see who's got the biggest and baddest weapons. Peace will not come with treaties that I don't know how many presidents now have claimed they've brokered peace in Israel. There's only one thing that's going to bring peace to Israel, and that's Jesus Christ coming once again to planet Earth. Peace doesn't come when a general glow of goodwill exists among us and we suddenly love our neighbors. Peace doesn't come in a troubled marriage through hours and hours and hours and hours of counseling. Peace doesn't come to the life of a person ravished by sin with the next fix or the next drink, whatever they have chosen as their habit. Peace cannot be attained through the wealth of the world. Jesus himself said, What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? The angels give us a precondition for peace. You want peace in your heart? Here's a precondition for that. When we give glory to God in the highest, as those shepherds did, they were afraid. Remember the Bible said they were, the King James says they were sore afraid. I'm not sure what that means. They were scared. But notice at the end of the scripture that I read to you, they were scared, they were afraid. They didn't know what to think. They fell on the ground in the presence of these angels, and all of a sudden, now, they feel peaceful. That's what happens. I want to show you one last thing, this precondition for peace. When we give glory to God in the highest and we elevate him to the first place in our life, only then will you have peace in your life. I was talking to a couple not long ago who's having some marriage difficulties, and I was telling him about my wife and I, the invitation that we had at our wedding said, believing that God has brought together Reagan Cooksey and Vicky Cowart. We invited people to come to our wedding. I said to this couple that was kind of squabbling a little bit, you ever been in a squabble? You're lying to me. You're married and you're grinning. You ever been in a squabble? I just reminded those folks, like I remind myself all the time, God brought us together. We didn't just choose it. God did this. And listen, if we give him the glory, if we praise him, that's how peace comes. The precondition for peace is to know that you know Christ. Now, I want to show you one last thing. Look back at verse 15. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into the heavens, that the shepherds said, what on earth just happened to us? Let's get back out here and watch these sheep. They're probably all gone now from that great illuminating light. That's not what happened. The Bible says that the shepherds looked at one another and said, let's get down the road over here to this place called Bethlehem. We got to go see what these angels are talking about. Let's move. Let's get there. Let's move. They heard, they listened, and they decided they would go. And go they did. And when they beheld the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, oh, what a night it was. Because heaven came down to Bethlehem's manger, that those men and you and I today might have a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Have you beheld him, Jesus? Oh, I've never seen a bright light in the middle of a pasture, but I've seen him. I've seen him in the eyes of a child. I've seen him in the eyes of a sick person. I've seen him in the eyes of a person just before they took their last breath on planet Earth. I've seen him in my own life. I've seen him get me back on the straight and narrow when I ventured to go off. I've seen him. I've not seen that great light like those shepherds did that night. Oh, what a night that was when the light came down from heaven. Has light come down from heaven for you? Have you seen him, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord? The light that came down that night to Bethlehem's pasture came because there was something in the manger. And that something in the manger still shines bright and still welcomes men and women to himself who will come and behold him. Oh, come. Let us adore him, Christ the Lord, Christ the King. You want light in Christmas? You want a Merry Christmas? My wife and I receive, she sends out, I don't know how many Christmas cards. We get Christmas cards from all around, different folks through the years, have known us and we know them, and get Christmas cards. Get Christmas cards from some of you. And I praise the Lord for those things. They encourage us. That we like to get them, but you know, I've noticed there's kind of a theme that runs throughout all those cards. It's the word peace. Well, today, my friend, if you're upside down, if life is a bit on the edge, if things are not going exactly like you'd like to have them go, I'd point you to Bethlehem's manger. I would point you to that babe in a manger. I would point you to Christ who died on the cross. I would point you to the light that is an everlasting light that will never ever go out. You can count on that. The statement was made, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. The only way to have peace in your heart is to know that you know the Savior, to know that you know Jesus, to know that he is your Lord, that he's your Savior, to know that in him the greatest enemy you'll ever have has been defeated, because in him you have the light of the world. The night Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger changed everything. Has your life been changed? Do you know that you know that you know? Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that's been mine to stand before your people. And once again, Lord, to proclaim this old, old story about Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I thank you, Father, that you've given him, that through him I might have peace, and that peace everlasting. I thank you, God, that through Jesus, you've given me a peace that no thing on this planet can take from me. Lord, my prayer for each of us is that we'd stay focused, that we would look to this Savior, Lord, Christ, the Messiah, to lead us and guide us every step of the way of our lives. And this morning, God, my prayer would be there are some in this building that have stepped off the path, not as close, Lord, maybe as they once were to you. And I pray today, God, they might see brilliantly the light of Bethlehem's manger, the light of Calvary's cross, the light of our Savior, and be drawn back to your side. God, thank you that you let us come back. Thank you that you let us come home, God. And Father, this morning, if there's a lost person in this building that does not know Christ, they've never come to that place in their life where they've invited Jesus into their heart, then I pray, God, for that person today, or those people that might be gathered in this place that today, they might make that life-changing decision to come into the fullness of the light that is Jesus Christ. And maybe, God, some who have decisions to make in this place, you've laid it upon their heart, God, some decision that needs to be made. And I pray, God, you'd lead them. You'd guide them to make that decision today. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill this place with your presence. Freely move among us and change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you stand with me as we stand together? Would you come as God might lead you?